Hello, friends. This is Grace in Focus from the Grace Evangelical Society, a program where we seek to be clear about what saving faith is and what it's not. Our current series is Confident in Christ, and the source for these programs is, first of all, God's Word, but also a book written by discussion leader Bob Wilkin, which is titled Confident in Christ. You can purchase the book in our bookstore at faithalone.org. Now for today's discussion, what does eternal security mean? What three things will you miss out on if you do not think you have eternal security? Now, here's today's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus Radio. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And we are here today discussing the topic of eternal security, or what good Baptists like me like to say, once you're saved, you're always saved. Jesus promised believers everlasting life, not temporary life, not a probation, not a chance to win salvation. He said that believers have everlasting life as a present possession. Now, there's a big debate in Christian circles. Can you lose your salvation? Can you lose everlasting life? Well, let me read to you a passage in John chapter 10, verses 27 to 30. Here's what Jesus says. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Isn't this a great statement of eternal security?
I think it's a terrific statement of eternal security. And in fact, in verse 30, I and the Father are one, at the very least means we're united in keeping the believer secure. We're in the Father's hand, we're in the Son's hand, and I and the Father are one. We both keep the believer secure. If God is greater than all, then who can snatch us out of his hand? I've heard people say, well, no one can snatch us out of his hand, but we can wiggle out on our own.
Right.
No,
right.
That's the point. The point is we are secure the moment we believe, and we're part of the no one. We can't even take away our own salvation. I like to say it this way. I've met people before who said, well, you know what? My friends are not believers, and I want to spend eternity with them. So I'm going to give back my salvation, or I'm not going to choose to accept it. Well, no. If you believe the promise of everlasting life, and you've believed in him for that life, then you're stuck with it.
Right.
Once you believe in Jesus, you have that life. And so if you're concerned about your friends, go witness to them so they can go with you, because you're not going with them.
Right, that's right. Well, I like to use this illustration at church, and I do it with the kids, but I find that the adults appreciate it just as much. I'll bring up a kid, and I'll have a coin, like a Sacagawea coin or a loonie, which is like a dollar from Canada, where I'm from, and I'll hold it in my hand, and I'll ask this little kid, try to take this coin out of my hand, just one hand. And I'll usually choose a really feeble little kid, so the illustration works. And she or he's unable to do it. And then I'll say, and I'll use my second hand, and I'll grab the coin now with both hands, and I'll say, okay, now try to do it. And they're going to be discouraged, because if they couldn't do it with one hand, they certainly can't do it with two. And then I have them read this verse out loud, and I say, can anybody take you out of Jesus's hands in God's hands? And you can see their eyes light up, and you can see the eyes of the adults light up too, because they realize what exactly Jesus is promising, that once you are saved, once you have eternal security, there's no getting out. You can't jump out of God's hand any more than a coin can jump out of your hand.
Right.
Because God, like he says here, is greater than all, and all includes the believer.
Yes.
There's no one more powerful than God. There's no one who can take you out of his hand, and he doesn't want anyone to take you out of his hands. Once you are secure, you are eternally secure.
Yeah, and the reason why this is so important is this is what Jesus promises. So when Jesus says to Martha in John 11:26, he has just said, he who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? If she said, no, I don't believe that, then she would not be believing the promise of everlasting life. And that would mean she wasn't born again. Mm-hmm. So rejecting this is rejecting the life which Jesus gives. I've debated a number of people, and I remember one particular denomination. I debated this person in front of about 400 people in his denomination. And his view was, if what Bob is saying is true, well, then I'm going to be in heaven anyway, because I have both faith and works. But if what I'm saying is true, Bob's not going to make it because he has faith alone and he doesn't have enough works. And my response to him in the course of the debate was, no, you believe some things about Jesus, but you don't believe his promise of everlasting life. And so if what I'm saying is true, you're on your way to the lake of fire. That's why I'm so concerned. I know you're well-intentioned. I know you have good works. I know you love God and you're trying hard to serve God. But like Paul said, your zeal for God is not in accordance with knowledge. You're trying to establish your own righteousness, which is what Paul says in Romans 10, 1 through 3, instead of simply accepting the righteousness of God.
It seems to me, and we've talked about this before, that the promise of salvation has many different facets. And some people say there are 33 things that happen to you at the moment of belief. Some people bump up that list to 40. And almost all of those terms, I would say, have the idea that salvation is irrevocable. You can't give it back. It can't be undone. Can you give us some examples of the irrevocability of salvation? It's not just the promise of everlasting life. It's woven throughout all the ways that Scripture describes our salvation.
Right. Well, one thing we have is justification, which is to be declared righteous. Once you're declared righteous, that's your standing forever.
There is no verse that says God maybe on a Tuesday changes his mind and unjustifies you.
Right.
It's a one-way deal. Once you're justified forever. There's no verse that says God unjustifies anybody.
Exactly. Another expression would be sealing of the Holy Spirit. We're told by Paul that at the moment of faith, we're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. When we're sealed by the Holy Spirit, that word is the same word that was used when Jesus was put in the tomb. And remember, Pilate said, you go ahead and put a seal on it, and we're going to put the authority of Rome behind this with a stamp on it to seal the tomb. When we're sealed by the Holy Spirit, that means our eternal life, our everlasting life, is guaranteed by the seal of God himself. The Holy Spirit is one of the three members of the Trinity, and he guarantees it. So that would be another aspect of it.
And again, there's no verse that says God will seal you one day and unseal you the next day. If that was true, you would expect God to warn us about that. I mean, if salvation was that fickle, that easy to lose, you'd expect Scripture to kind of give you the counterpoint and the warning to say, listen, you could be sealed this day, but you got to watch out because later that afternoon you might be unsealed. And then you can get sealed again if you believe again and you don't have this daisy theology thing going.
Right. Well, another thing would be the guarantee of the rapture. We find in 1 and 2 Thessalonians, Paul says, God has not appointed us for wrath, but to obtain salvation. What he's talking about in that context, the wrath is the 7-year tribulation period, and the salvation is the rapture. So the fact that we are guaranteed to be raptured and not go through the tribulation is another aspect of eternal security.
Right. And what about in John chapter 3 when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus and he's impressing upon Nicodemus the need to be born again?
That's a great point, because once you're born, something irreversible happens. The same thing is true once you're born again. Something irreversible happens. Now, a lot of people mistakenly think, and this comes back to everlasting life, that if you live forever, you have everlasting life. Well, the unbeliever is going to live forever too.
And live forever, I personally don't like that term. I prefer the term just exist. They're going to exist forever.
Right. They're not going to have God's life, and they're not going to be in the kingdom. But they are going to continue to exist forever. Everlasting life is to have God's life, and that's what the unbeliever lacks. Also, another verse that I think really brings this out is 1 Thess 5:10. In verses 9 and 10, Paul says, "For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ," the verse I just mentioned. And then verse 10, "who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep," and that word wake is really watch, whether we're watchful or whether we're sleeping, whether we're indolent, we should live together with him. This is the guarantee that everyone who believes in Christ will live with him forever. And so it seems to me there are many, many references to eternal security
right,
found throughout the Scripture.
Let me give you one more. It comes from the first chapter of John, verse 12. And John says this, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." Now, when you go to adopt a child, The judge makes very, very clear that this is not something that you can just, once the child is adopted, you can't give that child back the next day.
Right.
He's your child or she's your child. This is a permanent thing. And it's the same with God. When God has adopted you into his family, there's no unadoption process. When God has made you a child of God by making you born again, he doesn't abort you. There's no abortion verses in the Bible. There's no unadoption verses in the Bible. Every single term of salvation, just about every single term in salvation, speaks about the irrevocability. It speaks about eternal security. It speaks about once saved, always saved. This is not just based on one or two verses. It's almost every single term the Bible uses to describe our salvation speaks about eternal security. There's at least three things you'll miss out if you don't believe in eternal security.
Well, one of them is you will miss out on the new birth. Now, you may not know the term eternal security, but you need to know that if you believe in Jesus, your salvation is a done deal. I know I'm going to heaven. I know I'm forgiven. I know I'm part of God's forever family. Whatever it is, you don't need to know the theological words, but you need to know that Jesus has given you something permanent. Secondly, you'll miss out on freedom from fear of hell. If you don't believe in the promise of life, you're going to go through life afraid that you're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. That's a bad way to live. And third, you're going to miss out on the ability to please God because the works that you're doing are going to be improperly motivated. You're going to be doing the works in order to work your way to heaven, not in order to please God.
That's right. So it just changes your motivation for living the Christian life. Do you remember when the woman was washing Jesus' feet with her tears and her
yes.
hair? And Jesus said, "He who is forgiven much loves much." The love is motivated by the fact of being forgiven.
It's this whole issue of gratitude, right? This woman who was forgiven much loved much because she was grateful. Now, we're all forgiven much. But this woman knew it, and the Pharisees didn't know it. The Pharisees thought they didn't need much forgiveness.
What this comes down to is the difference between legalistic religion and grace religion.
Yes.
If you reject eternal security, there is a good chance that you are trapped in legalistic religion. And we would implore you, go to the Bible, go to the promises of salvation, and have your life, your salvation, everything transformed by the radical grace of God.
Amen.
Thank you, Sean and Bob, for the thoughtful discussion both yesterday and today, bringing eternal security into focus. This is Grace in Focus, and I thank you for being here today. If you visit faithalone.org, you will find many ways of learning more about the Grace Evangelical Society, the parent organization of this radio ministry. That's faithalone.org. If you want to help to sustain this ministry, your financial giving is very much appreciated. Just find our donate button at faithalone.org, right up at the top of the homepage. Faithalone.org is a secure site. All gifts are tax deductible, and we commit to be careful and faithful to the Lord with every cent given. You can also find the book mentioned in today's program, Chosen to Serve, by Sean Lazar, in our bookstore at faithalone.org. And we'd love to hear a comment or question via email. Email us at radio@faithalone.org. Next time on Grace in Focus, a punishment worse than death. What are some of the judgments in the Bible, and what are they all about? I'm Lucas Kitchen. Please come back tomorrow. But until then, let's keep grace in focus.